This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School podcast, episode number 133, Treating Seasonal Affective Disorder with Ayurveda. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today. This is an unusual time of day for me to be recording. I usually like to record all my episodes early in the morning, but today has been a little different with my schedule. So it's a quiet evening. Family's out and about doing stuff, and they'll all be home for dinner shortly. So I have a yummy soup with potatoes and squash and some root veggies simmering on the stove, and thought this is a great time to sit and chat with you and to talk with my favorite Ayurveda friends. So I hope you guys are having a beautiful day, that you're enjoying this transition into fall. And as I was thinking about the season and the season change, I know that for some people, seasonal affective disorder is a thing. It is something that is very real for them. They experience this, and I see this in some of my clients that have a really hard time every fall and winter, and they don't really come out of some of these emotional blues, we like to call it, until we hit springtime. And so I like in some ways that we can see the truthfulness of Ayurveda reflected in medical science, enough so that we've actually given a term to it, right? We now call it seasonal affective disorder. And it's an annual reoccurring depressive episode. That's kind of how the Western world looks at it. For most people, it starts to occur around November, so the time of year we're in now, lasting until about February or March, which is so interesting when you look at the seasons and the doshas, and we see that that is Vata season and moving into Kapha season. So when we look at it from an Ayurvedic standpoint, we actually see that Vata and Kapha are involved. They are both aggravated. I was reading a textbook the other day, because if you guys know me at all, you know reading Ayurvedic textbooks are kind of like my hobby. That's my easy reading. And I was reading one of the textbooks, and they said it was an doshic derangement. And I kind of like that idea, because that word deranged, it just brings up all kinds of images of someone's just gone crazy on us. So I like to sometimes think of the doshas have just gone a little bit crazy, a little bit deranged or aggravated or increased. We can look at it that way. But when we look at what SAD, or seasonal affective disorder, really does to people, it creates a lot of feelings of depression, loneliness, isolation. They see an increase in appetite and some weight gain. That's the Kapha side of things. Low energy, and even can range into suicidal thoughts. So it's a real problem. And up to about 3% of the adult population has this in a high enough amount to have it diagnosed. But that does not mean that you may not get more emotional blues during the fall, or that you may feel a little bit more of that lethargy of Kapha. So even if SAD is not something that affects you at a high enough level that you've sought medical treatment, if you experience any of the emotions of excess Vata or Kapha through the wintertime, it would be wise to listen up for some thoughts on how Ayurveda views this, how we can look at this. So from a Western standpoint, they don't really understand the cause of seasonal affective disorder. They often think it's hormonal. It might be due to serotonin, the inability of serotonin to communicate between the neurons in the nervous system. They also look at melatonin as a major player. And melatonin is really an interesting hormone, because it has such a huge impact on our circadian rhythms. And we also know that Ayurvedically, our circadian rhythms are really important, and that they are also controlled by the doshas. So I find it really interesting that when we have reduced melatonin, especially in the evening, we aren't able to sleep. So when we have aggravated Vata, we're also not able to sleep. So I don't know that there's been any studies yet about the connection between an aggravated dosha and hormone levels. But if you just look at the correlation, it is pretty interesting to see that, right? Melatonin is not just useful for sleep. It's also very helpful for mood and emotional physiological processes. So it does have a big impact on how you feel, not only how you sleep, which is really interesting. So there is this word that I have come across called chronotypes. Chronotypes is a way to define people who like to be more active in the morning or more active at night. So generally, chronotypes are a preference to a time of day. But melatonin and our season can also affect our chronotype, or what type of day person or night person we are. So there's a lot of research, and it shows that people who like to be active during the evening and night hours also tend to have significantly higher amounts of seasonal affective disorder, which is so interesting because we know that if you are switching your Ayurvedic clock or switching your body clock, and instead of rising early, taking advantage of those early morning hours, getting all that excess kapha kind of out of your system before you move into the day, that you're going to struggle and feel more heavy and lethargic, which can lead to more feelings of heaviness and emotional distress. But if you are getting to bed really late, you like to be a night owl, you like to stay up, it's affecting your body's ability to cleanse. It's affecting your body's ability to process everything that you experience during the day. You can end up with such disturbed sleep that then your hormones are off. So there is a lot of interesting Western science that's also backed up by Ayurveda showing that going to bed earlier, rising earlier does affect and is important to your emotional health. So I just think that that's really awesome that it matches up with that. So people who are more likely to have an earlier chronotype, they like to get up earlier, they like to be up in the morning, they also tend to have a healthier diet. So it's another correlation we see in there. So again, we know that from an Ayurvedic standpoint now that vata and kapha are increased when you're having a seasonal disorder, when you're feeling more sad or more depression or more heaviness or emotional throughout the wintertime. The vata dosha itself is very cold. It's very mobile. And that increases in the fall. And then when we get into more of that cold and dry qualities that come in during the winter, we also see that kapha starts to rise towards the end of the winter. And kapha dosha is very heavy and very dull. So because of that increasing vata, we see that the schedule is becoming less structured. If you're feeling like you've kind of gotten out of rhythm, that you were doing really well, and then the last few weeks, it's like, oh my gosh, I just cannot stay with a schedule. I feel kind of out of balance. The time changed, and now it's really weird. Just know it is vata that's increasing in the environment around you, and it's affecting the way that your body and your mind are able to regulate their own rhythms. So we just need to be a little bit more patient with ourselves, get back onto a schedule. It's really, really important there. We also see as we're moving into the holiday season, especially if you're in the Western world where we have Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, and if you celebrate those, that your schedule tends to get really wacky. You're doing things when you normally wouldn't. You're staying up a lot later. You're eating foods that you normally wouldn't be eating. You might not have as much time to exercise. You're starting to really hurt that digestive fire. We know that as soon as we throw off our digestive fire, we're creating ama. Remember, ama is toxins. We don't want ama. We want to keep that digestive fire burning strong. So truly staying on a routine with our eating and our sleeping and our movement, just those three things, right? Eating, sleeping, movement patterns with exercise, that will keep you so much more balanced during vata season. When I was very new to learning about Ayurveda, I remember one of my Ayurvedic teachers telling me that if you can manage vata through the fall and early winter, that you will be healthier throughout the entire year, that the way you feel in the summer has a lot to do with how you managed vata in the fall and winter. At the time, I didn't really understand, but now I see that because vata has that movement, right? It's the air element, it's moving. It kind of pushes the other doshas. So this is the time to really focus on routines, on structure, on creating a lot more stability for yourself. Now, in Ayurveda, we really look at lifestyle as the key to treatment. In Western medicine, they really look at pharmaceuticals. So if you come in to a Western doctor, you're having seasonal affective disorder, they're going to probably put you on Zoloft, right? They might put you on different antidepressants. But in Ayurveda, we look at it instead as a focus on lifestyle. And one of the biggest ways we can affect that is creating our sleep patterns, having diet that matches what's going on in the season to create balance. So in general for you, that would mean eating warm meals that have good digestive spices in them. Things like cumin, cinnamon, throw some coriander in there, some cardamom on there. You could put just a pinch of black pepper. If you really have slow digestion that's sluggish, you could put some asafoetida or hying in there. So there's a warmth that we want to create to our meals. Hence why I'm cooking a nice, warm, yummy soup that has lots of good spices in it. You want to avoid more raw and heavy foods. Stick with things that are a little easier to digest and exercising at the times of day that are appropriate for you. For most of us at this time of year, it's going to be really helpful to exercise in the morning. We want to exercise during that early kapha time, so about 6 a.m. The reason for that is it's going to counteract that heaviness of kapha through the whole day. So if you find that you are skipping that morning movement and you just don't have the time, maybe you can find just 5 minutes and do sun salutations for just 5 minutes before you go and hit the day. That's going to help you throughout the entire day to stay more balanced, and it will help you avoid that afternoon slump. So I feel like that's a really important thing as well. One other thing you can really do that's so simple is breathing practices. We overlook breathing. Last week I talked about hydration. This week, I think if you take nothing else from this little talk, it would be that breathing patterns, practicing breath work, pranayama is vital. A key treatment in all disease treatment is breathing practices. When you control the breath, you're providing oxygen to your body. This affects your immune system and your nervous system. And so when you're mindfully taking time to focus on your breathing, it gives you control into your mind and body. When you're having sad, it's difficult sometimes to feel like you have control over anything because you're feeling all these emotions, you're feeling a little bit heavy, you're feeling really sad, really down, really depressed maybe, or you're having a hard time focusing and you feel like you don't have control. This breath practice is a really good way to bring yourself back to that space. Even just 10 minutes a day really will alter your brainwave function, which in turn is going to affect how you feel. Two different breath practices that I really like to use during the fall and winter are, first off, alternate nostril breathing. You might heard this called Anuloma Viloma or Nadi Shodhana breath, but this is directly affecting the nervous system and vata. So when we are scattered, when you are distracted, when you're unable to focus, when you're feeling like you're pulled in all different directions, you just can't seem to find a schedule, you feel overwhelmed, there is just too much going on in your mind and in your environment, take a few minutes and do alternate nostril breath. It will help immensely, I promise that. Second one is called bellows breath, also Bastrika. This is a breath where you're breathing in and out through the nose and contracting the belly at the same time. So it's a forceful inhale, forceful exhale, using the abdominal muscles. The beautiful thing about bellows breath is even though it is stimulating, what it's actually doing to the nervous system is creating a flip so that you can move into the parasympathetic. So when you're done with the breathing exercises, your body can handle stress better. It's able to drop into the parasympathetic. We see the brain waves change. There's literally a change to the way that your brain functions after doing a breath practice. You know that feeling after you do a meditation and you've done a lot of good open heart breath and you just open your eyes and you just feel like you can handle things again. Like life is going to be okay. And there's just a calm about you. That's the impact of breath. So you don't have to do a super long meditation. You can just sit and do your breath for a few moments. Yoga therapy is a really powerful thing too. So when you're having mental health concerns or you're just really struggling in the manovaha shrotas or the channels of the mind, turning to yoga as a therapy practice is really beautiful. That movement and the way it affects the chemistry in your body and the breath and the hormones is all so impactful, not to mention it just feels so good. So if you're not going to a yoga practice in a studio, there are so many good tutorials online. There are so many good classes that you can find. And so I really recommend that you do some exploring, find ones that you enjoy. I'll put a few in the show notes that I really particularly enjoy. But you want to resonate with the teacher. So whether it's live or it's recorded, doing some yoga every single day is going to be really helpful. What's interesting is that when your heart rate doesn't vary throughout the day, let's say you're really sedentary, and so you get up in the morning, you sit all day at your office, you sit in your car, you sit on the couch and watch TV, and then you go lay in your bed. You've had very little change to your heart rate. There's not been any variation in it. But when our heart rate varies, when it has to go up and down, it's crucial for handling anxiety and depression. So when we have a high degree of variability in our heart rate throughout the day, we actually see that our ability to handle difficult mental and emotional stresses is improved. I think that's amazing. From a strictly scientific point of view, when you don't have those variations in heart rate, you're not getting your heart rate up every day. And I'm not talking about going and running a marathon, right? You don't need to do something that's so crazy and intense and actually stressing your body. But you do want to have that variability. You want to have that heart rate rise and fall. When people who have a decreased heart rate variability, they don't do that as often, they have increased mental health issues. And the reason for that is simply because there's not good nutrient and gas exchange occurring within the brain. They've actually studied this. that when you don't have that rise and fall, you're not getting all the nutrients into your brain, so you can't think as clearly. The Manavaha-Shrotas is blocked, it's clogged up, it's not able to move and process, the nervous system isn't moving as well, and so even doing yoga is a perfect way to get that heart rate variability. We just want to take it from its normal static level and get it up and then have it drop down and have it go up and have it drop down. That's why yoga is so powerful, because it's easy to do. It's not something that you need to be able to, you know, spend a ton of money on. You can just literally sit and do sun salutations for a few moments and you'll get some of that heart rate variability. I mentioned before a little bit about diet. Diet is a really important factor in managing seasonal affective disorder. You really want to eat for the season. That's the very best thing. And one thing that is actually great about seasonal affective disorder is that when you eat to the season, you are healing the disorder that's being caused by the season. So when we're in Vata season, we want to be eating things that are a little bit more heavy. They're more moist. We want some added fats in there. We don't want to be eating a lot of raw foods. We want things that have more cream, more heaviness to the food itself, more density. So staying away from like the leafy greens and the carrots and those sorts of vegetables, and instead eating a lot of the food that is just being harvested right now. So if you wanted to eat carrots, you would cook them with spices. If you want to have potatoes, you're going to cook those potatoes. You're going to have a lot of the vegetables like the heavy squashes, the butternut squash, the acorn squash, because we want things that are going to give us grounding, that are going to balance out that lightness of Vata. It's really, really important. It's also good if you eat your meals at the same time every day. I talked earlier about routine, but we want to do this simply because it decreases the stress, right, on our digestion. It helps our bodies to know when to release certain enzymes, and it gets our melatonin firing properly so that we can sleep well, so we can get back onto a nice circadian rhythm and pattern. What we eat is so impactful. So my husband, he doesn't ever listen to this, so I can tell you stories about him, but he just turned 46 this year, and he was always a late night eater. Loved to eat like pizza and just like heavy foods late at night. And if you've ever met him or seen photos of him, he's not a heavy person. He's very Vata, but he just loved to eat this heavy food and it didn't digest very well. But when he was younger, he could kind of get away with it, or he felt like he could get away with it. Now, over the last probably 3 or 4 years, he is adamant that he will not eat after about 7:30. So he usually goes to the gym in the evenings, and then when he gets home, we have dinner. And I just think it is so fun because the kids will come in and they're teenagers, right? So they want to eat snacks and they're trying to eat food late at night. And we're always encouraging them not to, but letting them make their own choices. And it used to be he would join in, and now he's like, oh no, I can't do that. So we all tease, oh, you have an old man body. Now you're not able to eat treats late at night. And I think if we could implement that even younger, it's better. But I see that it's difficult because you don't see the impact sometimes of what you're eating and when you're eating it when your body is very young and it's really strong. But our digestive patterns over time affect how strong our Agni is. And we definitely do not want to be eating late at night. So getting yourself on a pattern is going to be really important. It's going to help your body a lot. Now we come to the Ayurvedic herb part of the conversation, because there are definitely herbs that can assist in seasonal affective disorder, but we don't always want those to be the first thing that we reach for. We first want to work on the lifestyle. But some herbs that you could bring in are things like bacopa. Bacopa is really useful as a nervous system and memory system supporter. That's how it's used in Ayurveda. It has a positive effect on regulating serotonin and melatonin levels, which I mentioned are both indicative in seasonal affective disorder, and it's very helpful with stress. So that's something that you could start taking when you start feeling those effects of the fall season. Ashwagandha is my favorite. Ashwagandha is an adaptogen. Often people think it's just an herb for men, but it is perfect for all genders. And ashwagandha is good because it works as a brain tonic. It regulates your hormones and helps to balance those, and it's very good for the nervous system. It's a rejuvenative, so it's rejuvenating the body. And because it's an adaptogen, it does what your body needs. So if you need to be tonified, it will help in there. If you need an area to be softened, it will help in there. So it's really great for everyone to use. I really like ashwagandha. So you can kind of do some research and see if you feel comfortable with that one. Saffron is, interestingly enough, a real natural antidepressant. It's a little more expensive to get. It's those beautiful red strands that you'll see sometimes added to dishes in Indian restaurants, but it has a constituent in it called crocin that is a neuroprotective and it's also a neuroenhancer when you're under stress. So it's very, very good for regulating your mood and your emotions. They've done a lot of clinical trials on saffron. It's an anti-inflammatory and it's really good for the central nervous system. So that is something you could add into your diet as well. Curcumin is one of the main active ingredients in turmeric. And oftentimes people like to identify one active ingredient as the sole reason that an herb is beneficial. But I like to look at the whole herb. So when we look at the whole herb of turmeric, we can see that it is, for one, very medicinal. It's anti-inflammatory, and it helps a lot with your hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis. That's a really big word, but it really deals with your adrenal glands and the release of stress hormones. So turmeric is really assisting if you are tending towards adrenal fatigue or exhaustion in that area, turmeric can really help. And we see too that because the hormones need to be balanced in order to affect your mind if you're suffering from depression, that something like turmeric could be helpful, right? Because it's dealing with the hormones and the adrenal glands that release those hormones. So pretty interesting there. When you take herbs, you want to use them kind of as a supplement to what you're doing lifestyle-wise. So if you were to give a synopsis of all of the Ayurvedic views on living with seasonal affective disorder and how to treat this, we would see, first off, it is a vata kapha disorder. It is an increase in vata and kapha, and that we want to work on balancing those doshas energetically with what we're eating. So in the early fall and middle of the winter, we're working on focusing on vata, and as we move into late winter, early spring, we are focusing on kapha dosha being elevated and working to balance kapha dosha. Now, it is possible completely to have both vata and kapha out of balance at the exact same time, which then gets a little bit tricky because they are kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum. Vata is very light, kapha is very heavy, but what they do have in common is the cold. Vata is cold, kapha is cool. So we know that in the wintertime, if we bring in things that are warming, like warming spices, and we cook our foods, that's going to be beneficial for both doshas. Sticking to things like routines are going to be very helpful for vatas. Getting movement, especially early in the day, is going to be very helpful for vatas, but it's also going to decrease kapha dosha. So it's going to help us to stay out of that heavy lethargy. Getting good sleep is going to be very beneficial for both doshas, especially when we're waking early. That's going to decrease kapha. Getting to bed early is going to decrease vata. So truly, all of these routines that we work on through the fall and winter are balancing for both vata and kapha dosha. We just look at the qualities that we're bringing in, look at the environment around you, and bring in the opposite. And that's how you will find balance. I love studying the gunas. Those are the qualities because they really make Ayurveda so, so, so very simple. So I hope that you enjoyed this, that you learned something good that you can use as you move forward in having a beautiful fall and winter, and that you're able to create harmony within yourself, within your family, within your home, and spread that to the people around you. Help them to see how important it is that we maintain routines, that we're really focusing on our wellness through this time of year. Have a beautiful week. If you have not gotten the Ayurveda Starter Kit yet, go ahead and order that at ayurvedalifeschool.com/free-starter-kit. And if you are interested in joining the 28-day immersion, we would love to have you. This is a great time to set some of those routines to keep yourself really healthy through the fall and winter. You can learn more at ayurvedalifeschool.com/ayurveda-immersion. Have a beautiful day. We will talk to you soon. Namaste.
Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it.
You can connect with me online at ayurvedalifeschool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.